You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Jesus came to soul. Satan lost a good right arm. They all cried hallelujah when old Jesse's head went under, because this time he went under for the Lord. Yeah, this time he went under for the Lord. Yeah, he did. He went under for the Lord. That means he got saved. Jesse.
I think Charles liked that. Yeah. Very good. Very good. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to the Gospel of John chapter 8. And if you'd like to turn there but don't have a Bible, if you'll lift your hand, we'll get you one. Okay. Keep them up till you get one. We've got people coming with them. Now then, let me say this. If you don't have a Bible, if you don't have a Bible here, you're from out of town and you don't have your Bible, got another one right here. Yeah, all right. Just keep that one as a gift from the rec room. We want you to have it. Now then, if you are just using it for tonight, let me ask you, instead of just leaving it in the chair, and then somebody's going to have to come back and pick it up, if you will set it on the back table here as you go out, we would appreciate that. That would save us a step or two. We'd thank you very much on that. John chapter 8. This is kind of a unique event in the life of Christ. One thing about it, and if you happen to have got one of them Bibles that's easier to read but's wrong, they will tell you in the footnotes that verse 1 through 11 are not in the best manuscripts. Which is kind of weird, because if you take them out, the last verse in chapter 7 says every man went into his own house, and then verse 12 said, then spake Jesus again. So you got Jesus talking again to somebody that wasn't there. Just believe me, it's in there. You can believe this book. And so it's about a lady taken in adultery, caught in the act. And so we're going to read this, and I'm going to come back and make a few comments on it. But it said that Jesus went into the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground, and they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even until the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself, he saw none but the woman. He said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Our Father, help us that we do justice to your word. Help us to not mess it up. Help us to honor your Son. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Here is a situation that we could say like our meeting tonight. Let's say while I'm talking, all of a sudden in this side door burst the ministerial alliance of Odessa and said, here we caught this person shooting drugs. We caught this person in the act of sodomy. We caught this person in adultery. We caught this person breaking and entering. What are y'all going to do about it? That was the type of situation. They were very rude. They were very crude. They interrupted the program. And the Pharisees were the Bible scholars, so-called, of that day. They were religious hypocrites. They were those that swallowed camels and gagged gnats. But they came in to him and to get some idea how really stupid this was. These are Jewish people that are under Roman law. They didn't have any more authority than you and I do of arresting somebody for speeding. See, I don't know anybody that's dumb enough to stop folks out here and give them a ticket for parallel parking or speeding or whatever it is. We know we don't have that authority. They couldn't do it. They come in, and now in the nation of Israel, let me say this, in the nation of Israel, adultery was a sin that brought capital punishment. But they're not under Israel anymore. They've been taken over by the Romans. And with the Romans, I don't even guess it was a crime. Now, I got to thinking about this. I thought, man, if we imprisoned folks or if in America adultery was capital punishment, half of America would be on death row. So this is a bogus charge to start with. What they did, and by the way, here's the verse, or one of the verses, the Bible does talk about this many times. Here's one. I'm back in Leviticus chapter 20, verse 10. He said, the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress, shall be put to death. Now, remember, they brought this lady in, and they said, look, we caught her in the very act. I got a question. Where's the man? Where's the man? They just bring her in. I don't know if he happened to be a friend of theirs, or maybe he was one of them. I don't know. But the whole charge, God said, you got to take care of both of them. So that part of it is bogus. We got some folks here that are just, they're very merciless. Think about this a little bit. Because Jesus is speaking to a crowd. In that crowd, maybe, is the guy's wife. In that crowd, maybe, is the woman's husband. In that crowd, maybe, it's the woman's mother, daddy, children. This is a very embarrassing situation, putting down a woman by people who weren't trying, we'll see just in a moment, that were not trying to improve the morals of Jerusalem. And neither were they trying to enforce the right law at all. In America, you get caught in a crime. They don't embarrass you in front of everybody. They take you to booking. Nobody knows about it until the next day. They read it in the paper. You know, it's a private thing. But these people made a spectacle out of this woman. Now, I want to give you three things about them real quickly. Number one, they were merciless. It said here in verses 3 and 4, the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery, and when they'd set him in the midst, they say, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. And I'm sure she's ashamed. I'm sure she's hiding her face. I'm sure that she maybe is afraid that in that crowd is people that know her. Back when I first started going into prison, there was one prison, I've said this so many times, west of Fort Worth in the entire state of Texas, and that prison didn't have fence around it. It was a Big Spring Federal Prison Camp was the technical name of it. And in there were white-collar, nonviolent inmates. And most of them were very short-termers. And nearly all of them were embarrassed and hurt. I saw guys that didn't have... one guy got a year sentence and got a month off for good behavior. He served 11 months and it was miserable to that man. He was a banker from Midland. He was just... This guy must have cried himself to sleep every night. He was in his late 50s. He was just, bless his heart, it cost him everything, ruined everything. These people had all been successful and they'd been taken down. They made the front page. You know, if I committed a crime, they put me on the last page. Nobody cares about me. But you let somebody that's got some money, you let somebody that's popular do something, they're front page, man. And so those people suffered. They were embarrassed. Then when we started going in, and for 6 years, every Friday night, I went to Big Spring Federal Prison and taught. Then when they began to build prisons and we got calls to go to the state prisons, I learned something totally different. All of a sudden, we were away from that white-collar crowd, and here's some 18-year-old who's gone to prison, got him 3 tattoos, come back, went to the south side bragging about being in a joint. He's proud of it. It reminded me, years ago, back there was a plastic surgeon, a German plastic surgeon by the name of Maxwell Moss. Maxwell, some of you might have read Psycho-Cybernetics. It was a very popular book dealing with self-improvement psychology years ago. But his first book, Maxwell Malt wrote, he was a plastic surgeon, was Changing Faces, Changing Lives, because he had gone in and repaired the faces of people that had hair lip, had bad scars, had disfigurement. And he said their lives changed. Instead of hiding their face, instead of being wallflowers, once they got that new look, they started stepping out, and he thought he had the answer. We make you good looking and you'll do good. But as the years went by, he noticed that many of them didn't change. Even though their faces were changed, they didn't change, which caused him to write the book Psycho-Cybernetics. Because he'd found out that in America, people that had scars on their faces were ashamed of them. In France, and this was back when they still had dueling in France with the swords. And people who had a dueling scar wore it with pride. The scar could be looking the same. One person wrote what was ashamed. The other person was proud. It was how you looked at it. He understood that it came from the inside, not the outside. Say, are we hurt because we did something wrong, or are we just going to try to get by with it next time? And we see this constantly. We see people that want to stop drugs and alcohol, and we see people that just don't want to get caught using drugs and alcohol. There's a whole different mindset. These people were very merciless on this lady. It's like dragging somebody into the Chamber of Commerce or into the church or into the city council meeting and say, we caught this person doing these bad things. How embarrassing that would be. This was the type of people that were here. But through all of that, you say, why didn't they treat that woman out of way? And the next thing I want to mention to you, notice their motive here in verse 6. In verse 6 it said, this they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. They're after Jesus. They're just using the woman as a pawn in this game. They want to catch Jesus in a trap. They want to get Jesus in conflict with Moses. They said the Old Testament said, Moses said that if you commit adultery, you need to be stoned to death. And Jesus just stoops down and starts writing. And some of these Bibles, these reference Bibles and the commentaries have tried to tell me what Jesus wrote on the ground. Bible doesn't tell me. As far as I know, he might have been taking names. I don't doubt that, see. But it doesn't say what he rolled on the ground. But they assumed he that wasn't hearing them thought he was deaf, kind of like I am, and they began to repeat that question. What are you going to do about that? Moses said this. Let me tell you something else Moses said. Moses said when you start to stone somebody, the witnesses, the people that caught them were the first ones to throw the stones. You had to be a participant in that. You couldn't just walk off and not get your hands dirty, as it were. So that kind of stopped some of these things. Jesus said, let him that is without sin cast the first stone. Now that's going to eliminate folks, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah, we're going to lose a crowd real quick here. Let him that's without sin. And this is kind of interesting. It said they left the oldest one first. You know why? Because old people committed more sins than young people. We've had more time to do it. We've had more days to mess up. You know, one of the songs that I just hate, and you'll notice that Charles never sings it, is Wait a Little Longer, Please Jesus. I want Jesus to come as soon as possible. I mean, I wish he'd come before we get through here tonight. I really do. Because the quicker he comes, the less I'm going to mess up. The longer I stay down here, the more I can really get things in a bind and file them up. Just come on and get me. I don't have anything I need to finish, by the way. I probably, when I was younger, I said, well, I'd like to do this, I'd like to do that. Now, I just want to go home. Just get me home. That's what I want. But their motive was just to get Christ. And I'm going to tell you, their conscience began to get a hold of them. Because you get in the presence of Christ, your conscience start hurting you too. And so will mine. I might get in the presence of you, and you get in the presence of me, and our conscience doesn't bother us. But you get in the presence of Christ. That's why a lot of people will never go to church. That's why a lot of people don't want to hear any preaching. That's why a lot of people won't read the Bible. That's why a lot of people won't pray. Because they don't want to get in the presence of God because their conscience begins to hurt them. God has fixed us so that you just can't act like the devil without being reminded of it. We know that. We start that out as little kids. That's why nobody had to go to line school. We learned to do that real quick. Nobody had to teach us to say mine. As little children, we got to, but you know, say daddy, say papa, say mama, say please, say thank you. But we don't have to teach them to say mine. Somebody said, well, I wonder when that starts. We'll put 2 2-year-olds in a room with one toy and see how they share. Give you some idea when these things start. That was the motive behind this entire event, to get Jesus Christ, to catch him in a trap. And that's why he pointed these things out to them and said, throw that first stone, because Moses also taught that. Now then, he raises up and the crowd's gone. Nobody left but the lady. Now, if you missed everything else up to this, I want you to get this. Here's the message. This is the message. Here's the lady. He said, lady, where are your accusers? And what was her answer? He said, where hath no man condemned thee? And she said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, listen carefully, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. He did not say that it wasn't sin. What he did say, it was not a condemning sin. You won't get condemned for adultery. You may get punished for it, but you won't get condemned. You won't get condemned for stealing. Well, if you do this, will a man go to heaven? Hey, it doesn't make any difference what you do. Turn back with me to the 3rd chapter of John, those of you got your Bible. You're going to remember the first verse, because if you know any verse in the Bible, you know this one. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What I want to call your attention to is, then verse 17 said, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. And then the next verse says, He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the only begotten name of the Son of God. Condemn. Here's condemnation. If you use drugs, will that send you to hell? No. If you're homosexual, will that send you to hell? No. If you're drunk, will that send you to hell? No. If you're a murderer, will that send you to hell? No. If you're a child abuser, will that send you to hell? No. Nobody goes to hell for what they do. Do you realize this? And think with me and get this message. A person goes to hell for the one thing they don't do. They don't believe in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Isn't that easy? I think that there'll be multitudes that will say, why didn't I do that? I could have done that. You may not can straighten up. You may not can do great things, but everybody can believe. We talk in our classes many times that nobody can do a thing about your past, but everybody can do something about your future. And this is where it starts. It says that he that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned. Not going to be condemned. Condemned already. Why? Because he hath not believed in the only begotten Son of God. Don't miss that message. It's not what we do that sends us to hell. It's the one thing that people do not do, and it is so simple. If it required you to be clean for 5 years, that might be a problem. If it required you to not ever break the rules of your parole or probation, that might be a problem. That's not what he's saying. All you got to do is trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and then He will change you. And if He doesn't do the changing, you and I are spitting in the wind trying to change. See? I want you to bow your heads. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Did you get that message? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed. You'll leave here tonight believing or not believing. As you sit where you are right now, you'll believe or you'll not believe. With our heads bowed, nobody looking around, you say, Leland, pray for me. I want to believe. I want to trust Christ as my Savior. I don't want to be condemned. I see your hand. You slip your hand up. Say, I see your hand. And yours. Anybody? Yours. Okay. You can put it up, put them down. God bless you. I see them, hon. Anybody else? I don't want to be condemned. I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. I want to be saved. Now then, let me ask you this. While our heads are still bowed. You said, Leland, there was a time that I did trust Christ as my Savior. I remember the time that I put my faith and trust in Christ. But boy, I've messed it up. Do I need to be saved again? No. But you do need to come home and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Help me start all over. I want you to stand to your feet while heads are bowed and eyes are closed. And as Charles begins to sing, I want you to come and say, I want to trust Christ as my Savior. I believe on Jesus Christ as my Savior tonight. I want you to come right now. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Would you come? Come right on. You put your hand up. You went that far. Now come. Now step out. Heads are still bowed. Eyes are still closed. It's the easiest it's going to get. Would you come? Come on. Maybe you just need to come and pray. Come on. Would you come? Come on.
Come home. You who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling.
Are you doing what God wants you to do? It's between you and Him now. Now, Charles, sing one more verse. Nobody else comes. We'll be through.
Why
this is your opportunity to do what God wants you to do.
Jesus is pleading, pleading for you and for me.
Are you doing it? Come on.
Why should we linger and heed not His mercy? Mercy for you and for me.
Last stanza, come on.
Come home, come home. You that are weary, come home.
Earnestly, tenderly,
Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner, come home.
Our precious Heavenly Father, thank you for those that come. We pray, Father, that their lives will be changed, that they'll find the joy and the peace and the happiness that comes through your Son. Pray now that you just bless us through the remainder of the week. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Refreshments are open. Thank you for being here.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.